dynamic voices for a diverse church. This is Pass the Mic.
Greetings and God bless. Welcome to another episode of Pass the Mic, Dynamic Voices for a Diverse Church, powered by The Witness, a Black Christian collective. I am your host, Tyler Burns. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BurnsClan. Please follow at your own risk. And joining me, as always, is the founder of The Witness, very extensive bio, the man, the myth, the legend, but two-time best-selling author, Mr. Blue Check Verified himself, Dr. Jamar Tisby. What's going on, brother?
I've just been trying to get this right.
Okay.
As far as the introduction.
All right.
And letting people know.
You still trying?
They can follow me
uh-huh.
at jamartisby.substack.com.
Very good.
So I just did it straight.
Yes.
And that's what he wanted.
He's healing.
He's got
He's
all
healing.
The flavor.
He's
and
healing,
I don't have
folks.
Any. That's all right. That's all right.
Well, what's going on, brother? How you doing today?
Today I'm sleepy. I stayed up late reading a book, but that was a good thing. It was actually a fiction book, which is not my norm.
Okay.
But we've been talking about healing.
Rest.
Right? So recreating and doing things that are fun and that we enjoy. And, you know, when's the last time you stayed up late reading a book because it was just that good? I think that's a good feeling.
I like that. I might have to ask you what book that is. off camera.
Definitely off camera.
Yeah, okay. I knew I was going to be like, what book is it? You'd be like, So, bruh, we've been doing this podcast for how long?
What, like 7 years? 8 years?
I think it's almost 8 years now that we've been doing this podcast. And I think people know limited portions about us, but they don't always know what goes behind the scenes in a podcast. And that's by nature. We don't want to let you in behind the scenes and see all the stuff that we do. It's boring. You just appreciate the finished product, you know?
It's a lot of Bo telling us not to breathe.
Right, yeah, exactly. We're working on it. But anyway, I think like one of the things that I realized over the past year is that we've been going through a lot personally. You know, we're doing this series called Heal Black Man, and we talked about just the case for healing. We talked about why it's important for us to rest, and Jamar, you know, schooled me on rest and how important it is. But then I think it's important to really talk about our friendship.
Yeah.
And kind of the ups and downs that our friendship has had. Now, we've been recording this podcast almost straight through for 8 years and done well thanks to the people who have listened, done well thanks to the people who have supported us, and done well because we have a tremendous team behind us. But last year, we weren't really doing so great.
Last year was rough.
Yeah. Last year was difficult. And I think, you know, second year of the pandemic, it was hard on a lot of different levels. And we found our personal friendship, even as colleagues and workers, at a point of strain.
It was strain. Yes, definitely.
So we were at this point of strain. I don't think it was ever a moment in time where it was volatile.
Right.
But it was kind of a Cold War situation.
Right.
Between, and most people would not know. They would be like, what?
Right, yeah.
Because, again, we kept doing the podcast and, you know, we would do things together, live chats. You know, you'd see us together. I think we might have done a retreat. I think so. We might have done a retreat even during that season.
We did a podcast retreat, yeah.
Yeah, that was very tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, conflict manifests differently. I mean, I don't think you and I have ever had like some knockdown, drag out, loud yelling argument or anything like that. It's never that confrontational in that sense, but it is, like you said, a Cold War. It's almost worse because there's this like underlying simmering of tension, mostly around the fact that like we both knew there were some things to talk about and hash out, but then it was a combination of, I think, neither of us wanting to sort of disrupt the friendship or risk something if it didn't go well. But then perhaps even more so, just ships passing in the night in terms of time and the ability to actually sit down and have this. And then it went on so long that it was like, I'm not sure we can handle this on our own.
Right.
Like we might need an additional party involved to help us sort through this, just so that neither of us got so sort of deeply entrenched in our positions that we couldn't move forward together.
I think it really started in 2020, actually, and then pandemic, and we were trying to still do stuff with The Witness. You were writing your book. It was like a lot of different things that were happening all at once. And I remember there was this moment where we kind of both had, I was invested so much in the witness, church stuff, trying to keep that going. And then you were doing your thing. And then it's like you popped back up for Juneteenth. And then we did some on Juneteenth. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, because we had done so many episodes prior that
right.
we didn't even the see each other until Juneteenth. And then that virtual time when we recorded a couple of episodes, it was like, oh, yeah. And then it was kind of like weird because after that, there was like this gap of time. And we still recorded stuff, still did stuff. And this is before you transitioned out. And I remember just thinking, yeah, something seems off, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to describe it. I think a lot of black men, I think sometimes we can innately detect that a relationship has shifted and changed. Or maybe that there's just something that's unaddressed and we don't know how to bring it up. We don't know how to broach that topic. We don't know if it's valid or legitimate. And so I feel like probably heading into 2021, when you transitioned out, that's when I think all the stuff kind of rose to the surface on a lot of different things. And I don't know if it was one point of inflection or it's like, oh, yeah, you did this or you did that. It was more all the stuff that we hadn't come out and said mm-hmm. as friends mm-hmm. and as colleagues, because this is the weird part. We're friends. We're actually friends. So it's not really, oh, we're just co-hosts. Like, no, we'll tell each other stuff that we're navigating. We're co-hosts on a podcast. And then at that point, you were president of The Witness, and I'm vice president of The Witness. So it's just three intersections of relational tension.
About as complicated as you want to get.
And so I would, you know, want to tell you stuff as a friend and then want to push you to do something in the organization and then trying to get on the same page with the podcast, all these different layers.
Yeah, I think for me, it was organizationally, there was a lot of stress and pressure as we added the Witness Foundation.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my energy had to go into that because it was new, just getting, we had to raise a lot of money,
right?
All of that stuff, hiring new people, finding them, all of that. So I wasn't as involved on the Black Christian collective side, the BCC side, mm-hmm. which then left you to pick up a lot, but there was no like formal, hey, right. this is going to be the next season for the organization. So it's going to look like this, that, and the other. For the personnel, it's just kind of dumped on you. And then I was feeling the stress, strain, and pressure of starting something new and wanting it to succeed, mm-hmm. wanting it to go well, feeling like I didn't have all of the support, even just sort of emotionally or relationally, that I probably didn't know I needed at the time, but needed at the time. And that developed some sort of feelings of standoffishness or what have you. On top of the fact that, like, I still think we are going to take decades to really grapple yeah. with what the pandemic has done to us collectively in terms of trauma, but also individually. So we're all feeling that stress at the same time. And then 2021 was a year of dramatic shifting and transitioning, mm-hmm. I think, for both of us as we yes. look at the off podcast kind of life.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was a moment. Was there ever a moment for you where you were like, I don't know if Pastor Mike is going to continue?
Not until very late. So it wasn't like the underlying thought or the sort of blinking yellow light in the back of my mind. I thought that maybe other stuff might fall off with The Witness.
Right.
But I thought the podcast would be the thing. If anything fell off, it would be the last.
Yeah.
What about you? Apparently so.
No, I mean, I don't know if I thought it was an active thought, like, yeah, we're not going to pod anymore, but I considered it. I considered that it would be a possibility. Not that I wanted to, but I just considered it would be a possibility, you know, because I didn't know where we were going to be after middle of last year. You know, after summer of last year, I didn't know where we were going to be, what was going to happen. And then it wasn't just, oh, we have beef or a Cold War. It was more like, you were so busy. And then
I was like, you were so busy.
No, but then you were really busy because you had stepped into the new role.
I was very out of pocket.
And then I became busy after I joined with All Nations. And so it was like, it was both at the same time.
Yeah.
And then I said, I don't know. And then we had that conversation of, you know, with other people encouraging us, hey, maybe it's time for us to go to therapy.
Yeah.
Together. That was strange.
Well, really, yeah. I mean,
what happened there? How did we get there?
Well, I mean, to their credit, the board at the Witness was, even if they didn't know the details of our friendship or our relationship, they just knew it was a stressful time of transition where you're sort of at a crossroads where things can either keep going and get better or they can start a slow decline.
Right.
And that really depends on the strength of the relationships within the organization. So to their credit, they were like, you know, we think just given all that's happening with the expansion of the organization, the transition of Jamar out, Tyler being as president, adding other people at the foundation side, it would probably be smart for the leaders, namely you and I, to get some professional help. And mm-hmm. and they called it mediation,
right?
Which, you know, is a term that implies a conflict between two parties that they want to ameliorate and do so amicably.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that's what started it. And I was like, oh, boy, this could be
intense.
Was
that even like, when you heard that, was that like a positive, was there a positive connotation to that? Or were you seemed a little bit nervous about that
thought process? I was nervous about that process for a couple of reasons. One, it sort of felt foisted on me.
Yeah.
You know, in the sense
it was, though. Like,
this is what you're going to do.
Yeah, it kind of was, but that was me. Like, I'd say, yeah, we definitely need to do that.
So it was just more like, whoa, I didn't know the conversation was heading this direction. And then the second part of it was, you know, I've been in and out of therapy for years, and we need to talk about it, but I mean, it's like opening a wound.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's basically saying there is an injury, there is a wound, and in order to heal it, we actually have to probe it. And so you come out of particularly the initial sessions when the job is just sort of getting out the gunk and unearthing these feelings. It is intense when you're doing it, for me. And then it is intense afterwards as you're basically convalescing. You know, if we use a medical analogy, right? You've gone in for surgery, and even once you're out of the operating room, there's still healing to happen and it still hurts.
Yeah.
And then you may have something, which is what therapy is, where you have to go in and out of the operating room. It's not just one and done. So I was thinking about all of the process and all of the emotional fatigue involved in just exploring this stuff. And I was like, oh boy.
Yeah. So initially it was kind of a group setting, and then kind of eventually was just you and I.
Yes.
And it was a lot. And I think just those sessions, and after the first couple, I said, wow, this is a choice. You know, and you're in it. I think there's like a level of, having been in marriage counseling and things like that, you know, with my wife and I, there's like a level of, oh, we have to still do life together and right, live together right. And take care of kids and, you know, plan things together. And so it's like, it's a little bit different because you have to normalize into a rhythm right mm-hmm. after that.
Mm-hmm.
But with friends, I'd never done this before.
Mm-hmm.
But with friendships, I think it was very hard for me to see, how are we going to get around this? How is this going to actually heal our relationship? Because it's going to unearth all these things. And then after all these things are unearthed, then what's going on?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we might not talk each other till the next session, or, you know, hopefully we do. Can we? Is that going to be, yeah. Are we going to want to?
Are we allowed to?
It was a lot of things. I don't know if I've even heard of a lot of Black men going to mediation.
Yeah, like for their friendship, for their relationship. I've not heard of it. And if it happens, we tend not to talk publicly about it.
Well, and it started because of our professional relationship.
Right. Yeah.
As colleagues and as co-hosts, and then became our friendship.
Right. Where, you know, the line is blurry.
Yeah.
But for us, because I think of you first as a friend, and mm-hmm. I sort of almost have to remind myself we're also colleagues. Mm-hmm. And then, like you were saying before, there was a hierarchy before where I was president, you were vice president till I stepped out of it, which was a whole situation in and of itself, right? Just me leaving the witness and then still not having a clean break, right? Like between professional and friendship, because now we're still doing the podcast, but it's more on an equal basis, if not you more spearheading the podcast. So that complicated, like, were we talking about our friendship? Were we talking about our work relationship? Yep. What's the line between the two?
Yep.
Can things go well in one area and not be going well in another, or are they sort of integrally attached? So,
yeah, and I mean, I know we made some references to it in one of our retreats before, but we had just started. Yeah, we made like a brief passing reference, but we were talking about can black men be friends? And we had just started.
Still raw.
And that was even weird in and of itself. I think what we're trying to say is if you're going to have substantial friendships and healthy relationships in any context as black men, that it takes work.
Yeah, like you said, it was a choice. And honestly, had it not been for other people looking in and encouraging me to do so, it's not something I necessarily would have elected to do.
Mm.
I might have elected to do it because of the podcast, because I know that this content and even just the presence of this podcast has been healing for so many people.
Right.
I still thought and do think it has momentum, it has legs. And so for the sake of keeping this going and having it be a healthy experience, I would have wanted to do that. But it's not something I just there are some people who I know who are just like, let's talk this out. Let's figure this out. Let's go to therapy.
I'm not that person either. I'm not really that person. But here's the thing I think that's interesting is when we got in that space, I think we then wanted to do it for us and then not for, you know, this is that running joke of black men, you know, men start a podcast instead of going to therapy, you know, like that's like that running joke. But I think it wasn't. You're like, okay, well, we want to do therapy because of the podcast. No, I think we wanted it ended up where we realized we need to do therapy for us.
Yes.
And we need to mediate things for us, not for a pod.
I mean, I missed my friend. Yeah. Like, we had gone from communicating like almost daily in some seasons to it could be a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Without even a text, right?
Right.
And then it was changed because we started batch recording podcasts. And so before we would at least have to touch base weekly to do the podcast as we were doing them in real time. And then when we had a bank of shows, then we
makes our lives easier. Probably our relationships more difficult.
Yes, exactly. But so I was like, man, I mean, there were just like several times a day where I was like, I need to talk to Tyler about this. But I'm like, but it's kind of weird right now. So I was grateful that we were just in contact. And what for me, when we actually got in it, and so we had a professional therapist, black woman, and she just sort of, most of the time, she was just asking us questions and trying to get us to talk.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I want to talk about that. I know we need to take a break, but let's come back and talk about our experience and what it did for us, what it produced, and then maybe some ways that black men can heal through those types of ventures. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, this is Tyler.
This is Dr. Jamar Tisby.
And we are excited that you're listening to this episode of Pass the Mic. But let me encourage you to support us. You can do so by going to patreon.com/passthemic. And for just $1 an episode.
Just a dollar?
Now, that's the bare minimum. That's four quarters. But if you want to go higher, okay, 5, 10, higher. 15, that's 20, right. 25, whatever it is, that will keep this show going and keep the high quality that hopefully you enjoy. So thank you for listening. But you can take it to the next level.
patreon.com/passthemic. We appreciate you.
So we've been talking about healing as Black men in our friendships and going to the next step, which is getting mediation. And that doesn't necessarily mean for everybody they have to go to therapy with their friends. Wasn't really how we expected it to happen, but I think having outside forces that speak into a friendship and keep it going and keep it consistent. I didn't know what to expect when I was heading into these sessions. I actually felt like it was going to be something different than what it was, but it was actually very healing because it was just kind of an open floor to, it was very guided, but it felt looser than what I expected. I expected something like very rigid.
Yeah.
And it felt more organic and let's see how this works and let's figure this out. Let's figure that out. And then we started opening up and it was like, oh, this is a lot.
It's a lot more.
Yeah. And again, before it was more than just me and Jamar. And then eventually it was just me and Jamar.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in general, therapy, one of the greatest benefits is just the space to say the things that need to be said.
Yeah.
And for me, that was most of the tension. It's just there were things that I was thinking and feeling that I wanted to express to you that I didn't know how or didn't feel comfortable doing. And what therapy did was provide us that space to do so.
Yeah.
And it felt safer because there was a professional there, right? So I don't know. It's like I've never been skydiving, but I imagine if I did, I would want it where the person is strapped to you while you're going, because you got somebody who knows what they're doing, even as you feel like you're in a free fall. So I think for folks who are out there and maybe have not been to therapy or wondering what it's like, even if it's just one-on-one with you and a counselor, what it does is provide a structured opportunity for you not just to say the things that need to be said, but for you to actually realize what needs to be said. Because it was in the process, and a good therapist, the best therapist asks great questions.
Right, right.
That's what they do. And so just asking the right question can lead you to different answers and different information that you didn't even know was there or was pertinent.
Yeah.
And that for me was the biggest benefit of it.
Yeah. And I think we're still figuring, like one of the misnomers is like, well, you go to therapy and then, oh, but you know, you're going, it's like how, you know, you eat one salad and you're like, I'm so healthy. You know what I'm saying? You drink one bottle of water. You're like, oh my goodness. You know,
I'm doing the thing.
Like I'm incredibly nutritious.
Yes.
You know, like, that's just what you assume. That's kind of how a lot of people take, like, therapy is not really like that. If you actually stay consistent with it, it's very difficult to see results. And I think what I was most surprised by is how much I didn't know I needed to say, and then how much small things could produce very massive changes in my life, in the way that I process something or in the way that I think about something. And it was those little paradigm shift moments where something was explained to me or revealed to me. And I said, oh, I didn't even realize that was beneath the surface of all of this.
Yes.
And then, oh, you're hearing me say the same thing 5-6 times in different contexts. And I don't know if it changed our relationship overnight. I don't think it did. I think actually after the first two, it made it worse. But, you know, the first couple, I should say, it just made it worse. But I think now it's actually really deepened and strengthened our relational health. And then also really helped us to see that anything that's worth doing is worth, you know, kind of cultivating and maintaining and developing and working at. And so that I don't want people, the reason why we want to talk about this is I definitely don't want people to get into this mindset that, oh, we just show up and we pod and it's easy good, and it's simple.
You know,
And there's a lot of things, man, there's probably going to be other mediation and therapy we have to go through with others.
Sure.
You know, and we're talking about this as Black men, but Black man to Black woman, you know, colleagues in a group setting, all kinds of things that we have to still work through. So I don't want to make it seem like it's a magic bullet, but it's been really helpful at saving the health of our relationship and our friendship so that we can do this work well. And so that we're not sitting in front of a camera or in front of a mic and lying to you about our intention in our commitment. And that was actually a really big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is I feel like if we don't do this, we're lying to people.
Mm-hmm. And it will start to come out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean,
some people are like, oh yeah, I detected it in episode 472. You know? Uh-huh. I don't know. I mean, you right. never know. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe.
But it does
did.
Leak out. Like we probably all know those friends or those couples where like it's tense between yeah. them, even though they're doing their best not to yeah. show it, right? And then you can't get on something as intimate in some ways as a podcast and not have that stuff show up and leak out even unintentionally. So it would have shown up, and it certainly would have affected the quality of this show. And I'm thankful for this show, because I think what would have happened if we didn't have this show to connect us, we just would have drifted apart.
Yes, I think so. And I think also it is our commitment to growth that made it that, because it's weird to say, but we're professional podcasters. You know, we could hide for a while, you know, but now I think also the change and shift in us being in person to record a podcast, which we are right now. So in person to record a podcast, you can't really look at the person and
super
record,
awkward.
You know, be like, yeah, bro, yeah, ha, ha. And then as soon as you cut the mics off, it's like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
No. Like, all right, I'll be back later. Like, but no, I think that's I didn't want to lie to people. And this has actually been, you know, call it personality or whatever. Is I don't want to lie to y'all and say we care about one another, we're real friends, and we're not doing what real friends should do to maintain health.
I agree. And I think that's sort of a bigger takeaway for me, is I don't podcast with a lot of people.
Right.
And so while this was good for an initial kind of reminder, hey, you need to work on your friendship relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I hope to carry with me is that even with other friends who I don't have some sort of professional or collegial
yes,
relationship
exactly.
with, I'll do the same thing. And really, the tiniest lesson, which is so important, is just to say the thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, not to let it fester, not to. And so it's hard, but in general, the people who I care enough about to worry about the state of the relationship, they want to make it better
yes.
too.
That's a great point.
You know, so there are some people certainly that it's strained, it ain't all good, but it's not like we're tight like that. And I'm right. like, you know, not everybody is for everybody,
right,
you know,
right.
but there are other relationships, and I'm talking mainly friendships, where, you know, something may have happened or not have happened, and it kind of lingered and it's still an issue. But what we've done together in therapy and mediation has encouraged me to address some of those things more proactively. Mm-hmm. And in every case, it's been hard, but it's been good.
And I think it's also important for Black men to hear that it's worth it for you to fight for friendships with each other. Because
so
I think this
it.
Is the hard part, is what I saw is my friendships with other people have suffered because I didn't fight for them.
Yes.
And I get into this mindset where I don't know if I call it a cutoff game, but I can quickly get into it's fine, it's whatever. And I can justify that.
Keep
from
moving.
An unhealed yeah. place. Yeah. I can just justify that and be like, okay, you know, we'll
That's
keep
a
it
wrap.
Moving. It
yep.
is what it is. Like, we'll keep it moving. Instead of standing and saying, no, I need to prioritize fighting for this thing. And that's actually, it's interesting that we're doing these things back to back, because rest will actually give you the clarity to be able to know what's worth fighting for.
That's right. That's right.
And so it's an encouragement to Black men to hear, no, it's okay to fight for these relationships. It's okay to pull somebody to the side, and everybody's not going to be where you're at, but it's okay to pull somebody to the side and say, hey, man, I just want to make sure we're good. You know?
Yes.
Because I feel like there's been a drift. I feel like we haven't communicated. And that seems super weird for us to say. That seems like, well, you know. And even as a pastor, it's weird, because you can, as a pastor, I have some spiritual authority over people.
Mm-hmm.
and leadership. And so pulling them, like, where are my friends that are also, you know, members and partners of the church? Like, you know, it's just, but it's helping me to say things explicitly and openly that I have neglected to do just simply out of probably fear, but then also out of the excuse of there are other more important things. No, actually, our relationships with one another as men is massively important.
Massive, especially as you get older. Man, it's just so hard to make new friends and meet new people as you get older. Many of us have family life, work life, and we're just not in seasons that put us around a lot of new or different people, at least in a context where those could potentially become longer term friendships. So we got to hold on to the ones that we have
that are real.
Are real. Which is a great point, right? Like, this is not us saying go out to every person you've ever had a conflict with and try to talk about it, because some relationships are for a season.
Yeah, it's just seasons,
you know? But obviously you have a best friend or somebody you're tight with or somebody you want to be tight with. And then I also want to encourage folks that sometimes it just takes a word.
Yeah.
Like you said, hey, I just want to make sure we're good.
Mm-hmm.
And that can open up a very fruitful conversation, or it can clear the air like, oh yeah, man, no, my mom was just sick. She's fine now and better, but yeah, I was just kind of out of pocket, you know.
It's so funny. It's so funny how much we go through and we don't tell others.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole episode.
It's hilarious. Bro. There was this one situation recently where one of my friends, he said he was going to do something, he didn't do it. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. But it was in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, okay, you know, is he all right? You know, I just didn't know if it was a thing. And then in the back of my mind, I was like, he knew how important this was. So I was just like, oh, okay. And then he had texted me recently and said, hey, my mom had a heart attack and all this. And I'm like, bro, what? I was like, what?
Let me know. I was just like, wow.
You know, but it wasn't that as much as it was, wow, we're going through so much.
Yeah, we are.
You know, and don't feel bad about not being able to do so. Just tell me, man, I can't do it, you know.
I'm learning,
and I've still trying to work through this. Hey, bro, I don't think I can do that.
Oh, man.
I'm not capable of doing that. I don't have the capacity to do that. I'm maxed out. And even that vulnerability is, ooh.
Yes.
It feels so awkward because you're like, man, that's my friend. I'm going to come through. And it's like, actually, health is saying, no, I don't want you to set up an expectation that I can do something that I cannot deliver.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've done that a lot in my life. And now I'm learning through this therapy and mediation, we can't do that with each other.
Mm,
yeah.
That's a good word.
So I hope Black men hear that our relationships and our friendships with other men and friends, and then this extends to our fathers, our siblings, you know, the people around us, our brothers,
dude,
they're important.
Yes.
They're important. And there's so much more we could unpack with that. Even the ability to cry in front of one another and weep in front of one another, to be vulnerable, to express anger about situations and things. All these things, I don't think we've thought about them. And right. I want Black men to hear, oh, it's okay to heal with one another.
Yeah.
And it's okay to heal in those friendships. And if you have to take money and time and energy in order to that's actually worth it.
It's an investment.
And it's an investment into your future and your health. So heal Black men together.
Heal.